we're in this special period of the year between the ascension of the Lord and the descent of the Holy Spirit, the original Novena, what we could call Ascension Tide. It's really part of the Easter season, but a specific final part of Easter. And in this time, we always pray to the Holy Spirit. We pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit. We ask the Lord to come in new and abundant ways. In the Novena that we follow, we pray for a different gift each day. Yesterday was, we pray for the gift of fortitude. Today, for the gift of knowledge. Not knowledge like knowledge for taking an exam, but for a right understanding of the relative value of things, earthly things, so that we keep our focus on heavenly things. Today's saints are great examples of men who lived by the Spirit. Talking about the martyrs of Uganda, Charles Lwanga and his companions, who are admirable in their ability to see what was the right thing to do. It's a gift of knowledge, what we're praying for today. Since we didn't pray the prayers yet, let me just point that out to you. We're in the middle of the Novena already. The gift of knowledge enables the soul to evaluate created things at their true worth in relation to God. It shows us the loving care of God even in adversity and directs us to glorify Him in every circumstance of life. You could say that's what the martyrs do. Guided by its light, we put first things first and prize the friendship of God beyond all else. That's what these martyrs did. They had opportunities to advance in their position, but in order to do so, they had to compromise their moral life. They had to give in to the perverse demands of the king, and they put first things first. They put God first. They refused sin at the risk of torture and death. So naturally, the first gift that we would think of in relation to any martyr, but especially these Ugandan martyrs, is the gift of fortitude, which we heard about yesterday. Fortitude, which makes it possible to pursue and to be dedicated to the will of God no matter what. Well, that's certainly true, but also knowledge. So that's part of what we're doing now. We're praying for these gifts. Now, we see this also at work. We see the Holy Spirit at work in St. Paul in today's first reading. He's on his way back toward Jerusalem, but he knows he has more trials to face. He's passed through many trials. Part of the ministry, he understands that's part of the fruitfulness of his ministry, but as he continues to bear witness, he knows he's going to face more trials. The Holy Spirit has been warning him, he says, that imprisonment and hardships await him. Well, why does he do that then? Why go there? Well, because that was the will of God. That was the mission that he had been entrusted with. And he says, I'm going to fulfill my ministry. I'm not going to shrink from doing what God has called me to do. This is fortitude. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in St. Paul. It's very beautiful to see it in action in the martyrs. Well, Paul's a martyr too. It's very, very inspiring to see how the Holy Spirit, once a person welcomes that power and those spiritual gifts, how the Holy Spirit makes possible a very fruitful life. Well, today's gospel helps us ponder where this comes from. Where does all this spiritual power come from? These gifts, well, they come from the inner life of the Trinity. And in today's gospel, Jesus addresses the Father. This is a prayer to the Father. This is the last section of the discourse at the Last Supper. He's no longer instructing the apostles or telling them that he's the way to the Father. He's letting them in on his relationship with the Father. Now, I don't know what it would sound like if we could hear each other's prayers. We usually don't know what people's prayers are like, but it's most likely a jumble of things. I think my prayer's a little bit chaotic. Sometimes I'm asking for things, sometimes I'm questioning, sometimes I'm praising God, expressing my love for God, sometimes I'm praying for other people and their different needs, and they're all mixed together. And sometimes asking forgiveness for my sins, as I'm sure all of you do. Jesus' prayer is actually quite simple. He doesn't have to ask for forgiveness. He's not asking for a deeper understanding of the Father's will or anything like that. He's receiving and giving. He's receiving whatever the Father gives, and he gives to the Father. He does the will of the Father. It sounds complicated when we read a gospel like this, all this business about giving glory and glorifying and giving and giving and being given. But it's actually quite simple. Jesus is one with the Father. You could say, well, why does he have to pray at all? Well, he's always praying. He's always glorifying the Father and being glorified by the Father. He's always receiving the gifts of the Father and giving himself to the Father. He's always giving what he has received to his apostles, or revealing the gift to the apostles. He's always doing that. He just doesn't say it like this all the time. Perhaps he knew that he couldn't talk like this in front of his apostles because they wouldn't know what he was talking about. But he's really letting us in on the intimate unity of the Father and the Son. Everything of mine is yours, everything of yours is mine. You have given them to me, I'm giving them to you, I'm glorified in them, you're glorified in giving them to me. You know, it's a dynamic of love. Absolute love for the Father, absolute confidence in the love of the Father for him, and dedication to making that love known to the disciples. That's the Holy Spirit, that love that he's revealing here. Now, he doesn't say anything about the Holy Spirit, but it's all the Holy Spirit. The love between the Father and the Son, which is what fills the church, fills the martyrs, fills St. Paul, fills Charles Longa. That spiritual power of receiving and giving, of yielding to the power of love, that's what's going on. And that's what we're praying for when we pray the Novena to the Holy Spirit. We're praying, Lord, open our hearts to this gift that you're pouring out on the world. This, you could say it's the only gift he wants to give, is his own life, his own inner life. Of course, it manifests itself in different ways in every person, how he wants us to express this gift, but it's still God's life in us, God's love in us, God at work in us. And we are allowing that love and that life and that mission to spread all over the world. So this is what we're doing in this time of the Novena, or this time in the Cenacle, praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit. We're opening ourselves to this beauty and glory of divine love. I think I spoke yesterday about mysticism. And I said, actually, that's the Christian life. Christian life is not just ordinary life. It's not just doing stuff or going through the motions. It's a participation in something we can't see and measure or even understand. But it's important to keep opening ourselves in faith to this dimension of reality, because this is where the power really comes from. We're here also mourning the death of our loved ones. I mentioned Mendy, mentioned the niece of Sandy, the brother of Angie. And we know that there are others who are suffering and grieving. Opening ourselves to the Holy Spirit is the right way to relate to these losses. What is happening here? Well, God is pouring out his love and drawing everyone to himself, which means ultimately we can't stay in this world. And part of the wisdom of the Holy Spirit is to be detached from what we think is so important in this world. That comes from God, that ability to say yes to God, even when it seems like he's doing something terrible. That comes from the Holy Spirit. So let's continue to open our hearts, our minds, our lives to the work of the Holy Spirit in us, in our community, in our families, in the world, so that the Father will be glorified, and the Son will be glorified, and we will be glorified in him.